Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com. Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
Well, have you heard of Palantir? It's the company PayPal co-founder Peter Thiel has. It's a data mining company, and it was originally designed for counterterrorism efforts. But a new investigation by Bloomberg News shows that the company is using war on terror tools to track private U.S. citizens. Joining me now from San Francisco is Peter Waldman. He's one of the Bloomberg reporters who authored this investigation. We've got a link to the story at onpointradio.org. Peter, welcome to On Point.
Thanks, Meghna.
So first of all, just quickly tell us, for those folks who don't know, what exactly is Palantir?
So Palantir is a Silicon Valley company. It started in 2004 after the attacks of 2001, and it basically exists to help the Pentagon, the CIA, and others track down terrorists, amass and synthesize and analyze intelligence on the battlefields overseas. And later that decade, around 2008, 9, and 10, it got brought back to America because Palantir, like every Silicon Valley company, found ways to leverage its data analysis to the private sector. So here we have it marketed to banks, to large institutions, corporations of all kinds, and to local law enforcement in the United States.
I see. You have police and sheriff's departments in New York, New Orleans, Chicago, and Los Angeles all having used it.
Among others, what happens is the Department of Homeland Security has quite a bit of money to help law enforcement at all levels synthesize and sort of fuse their intelligence gathering capabilities. This was in the aftermath of the terror attacks on 9/11 when they decided, well, hey, we could have actually detected these people when they came into the country with this plan. And if we had shared intelligence better among different levels of our law enforcement, we would have figured that one out. So there's a lot of federal money that is helping local law enforcement, and Palantir was an early beneficiary of that. Again, back to around 2009, it started to help set up these fusion centers where its software platform is widely used to integrate and synthesize intelligence. Basically, what Palantir does, I think it's important to understand, it doesn't spy itself, nor do its software engineers. What they do, they come in and set up the software platform for the agencies, and then they have access to all of the databases that the agency has. So if it's law enforcement, it's criminal records, driving records, all the kinds of things the state collects, but then it goes well beyond that, too, to scraping the web for social media and things like camera surveillance in parking lots and hospitals and universities. And, of course, with facial recognition, that gets you a long way in figuring out who's doing what. It's quite a tool when it spits out this sort of image or what we call spidergram of links, a link analysis that exists on a screen that any law enforcement person with access can see, or any corporate executive or security person who's looking at it can suddenly see these connections that sprawl all over the target's life.
Right. I mean, you say that like the connections include, you know, showing who they're connected through as colleagues, who they live with, brothers and sisters, even lovers, what kind of vehicles they own. Now, it's a lot of information about just average Americans. I presume, though, regarding law enforcement, local law enforcement departments that are using it, you know, as you mentioned, because of these fusion centers, there's still a counterterrorism argument for the use of this information. But I'm also interested in the fact that you said in the private sector, banks like J.P. Morgan are using what Palantir has to offer. I mean, they're buying this information for what?
So we have an extended vignette in our article about J.P. Morgan, because they were one of the first corporate users in the United States, And really, it's where we see Palantir coming from the war on terror to the weaponization of data against Americans at home. Basically, at J.P. Morgan, what happened was the people in the security department, in particular, one of the top forensic investigators there, whose job was to really track and watch employees for potential abuse of corporate assets. They had a huge trading loss in London, the London Whale incident, back before 2009, and they set up this system essentially to monitor employees. What it did was it tracked everything. If they had a company-issued cell phone, the GPS would tell them where that employee was at any given time. They could synthesize and read transcriptions of the digitally recorded phone conversations in and out of J.P. Morgan premises. They could watch and see when you badged in and when you badged out, and they literally set up a system that warned them via Palantir when an employee changed their badge in pattern. So they said, well, this employee always came in at 8:30. Now they're coming in at 11. Maybe they're disgruntled. Maybe that takes further scrutiny of their communications, and they might check out their emails or even track them physically after hours. So It led to quite a dragnet of monitoring and ultimately a spying scandal within the bank, and J.P. Morgan essentially dropped using Palantir after 2013. Mind you, the scandal was interesting. Actually, the top executives fell under the dragnet, and this individual, this former Secret Service agent who ran the forensic investigations, was actually spying on some top executives and looking at their communications and sharing them with an outside executive, and that's what brought it down. Doesn't seem like the top executives were all that concerned with everyone else, but when it turned on them, they sort of turned off the switch.
Ah, as these things happen. Okay, so, I mean, you also note in your investigation that Lord of the Rings fans will recognize the name Palantir. It is a reference to one of those sort of all-omniscient crystal balls the wizards use in Palantir. But we've just got 30 seconds here left to go, Peter. I'm curious. You said that Palantir is now marketing this data, this information, heavily in the private sector. I mean, again, we just got 20 seconds here. What do you think the implications are of this?
Well, you don't want it to fall into the hands of employers who use it carelessly or unmindfully, such that they're actually watching you, watching your buying, your spending, your family time, your vacations, which is entirely possible. I mean, Palantir is very resourceful as a tool. Remember, it is a tool, so it's really how they use it. And you want to be careful about who you work for and what tools they're using.
And who can afford to buy it. Peter Waldman, investigative reporter at Bloomberg, thank you so very much.
My pleasure, Meghna.
And before we go, I actually want to issue a clarification and a correction. In yesterday's show, we were talking about the Democratic National Committee's lawsuit against the Trump administration. We mentioned that the DNC had sent out a fundraising email. On the back of that lawsuit, it wasn't a fundraising email. It was an email to its supporter list about the lawsuit. There was no fundraising pitch in that email. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is On Point.